Joining me now, South Australian Senator and Shadow Health and Aged Care Minister and Shadow Minister for Sport, Anne Rustin, who's on the line. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning.
Thank you for your time this morning. Look, I've got to ask you about the Tony Burke situation and this, you know, the $50,000. I received an email this morning from Nita who said this gotcha from Sky and then Sunrise about the air travel to the US by Tony Burke is absurd, mudslinging, and it was 2 years ago. You obviously have a different view on this, Senator.
Well, I mean, I think there's a couple of things that probably Mr. Burke needs to answer for, and one is, you know, he's the industrial relations minister. I thought he would have been better off staying in the country and looking at issues that face Australians. It's not like he's the foreign affairs minister or the defence minister. So I think, you know, having a domestic facing portfolio responsibility probably questions why you need to spend that over 4 days. But these are for Mr. Burke to explain to the Australian public. It's not the first time his expenses have been questioned, and, you know, maybe he should front up and explain them. It's not for me to explain, but
I tend to agree with you on that one. I don't think you said boo on the subject. Obviously, of interest to you is the fact that private health insurance premiums, the announcement was made this week. You're of the opinion that the announcement could have been made some time ago, but that the government has deliberately held back till after the Dunkley by-election. I think they argued that the minister was actually still negotiating over the weekend, but you think that's a big fib, Senator?
Well, I'd have to say I'd find it really extraordinary if they made an announcement on Monday afternoon for Tuesday morning's papers that they didn't know what the announcement was going to be over the weekend. And, you know, we called them out time and time again as early as December last year about why they weren't letting Australians know in the middle of a cost of living crisis what another cost pressure was likely to be so they could plan for it. And then last week, they knew. I mean, I think they'd have a lot of trouble looking anyone straight in the face and say they did not know what the increase in private health was last week. No one's going to believe they were negotiating over the weekend.
I think they were after 6%, weren't they? The private health insurers wanted a 6% increase?
Well, obviously that's the story that the minister's putting out there. But, I mean, of course, this is a negotiation, and I'm sure the private health insurers started with a higher amount. But what we've got to remember is that when we were in government, we managed to negotiate the lowest rate increase in many, many years. In fact, I think the lowest rate increase ever. And we managed to tell Australians in December what that increase was. So I think the minister probably needs to have a thorough look at himself about doing his job, because his job is to make sure that he gives timely information to Australians, particularly right now when every dollar counts, and we want Australians to keep their private health insurance. But, you know, people may have made decisions not to keep it because they don't know what it's going to cost them. So, you know, I think it's a cop-out to say that blaming the private health insurers, the minister should have just been a better negotiator. I can't see why he couldn't.
But I mean, they do go up pretty well every year, and they certainly did while you were in government, Senator. I mean, there's nothing new about private health insurance going up pretty well every year.
No, absolutely. And you know, that's part of the inflationary process. I mean, last time we were in government, we managed to keep it down to 2.7%, which was the lowest amount in pretty much the history of private health insurance. But the point here is giving people timely information, providing them with that information as early as possible so they can make plans for their budgets. And right in the middle of a cost of living crisis when every dollar counts, I think the government was pretty disingenuous holding on to this information until after the Dunkley by-election, because I've got to say, I do not believe them that they did not know before the Dunkley by-election what the increase was going to be. They just chose to hold on to it. I mean, we still haven't seen the Aged Care Sustainability Task Force report. And another thing that they've had for months, and they're just not telling Australians. I think Australians should be pretty angry that they've been treated like mugs and been kept in the dark.
Right. You've brought up the subject of aged care, and you are the Shadow Minister for Aged Care. We're hearing stories about higher daily fees in nursing homes, that help pay for living expenses, meals, laundry, cleaning being considered by the Albanese government preparing to overhaul funding of the residential aged care system. I noticed a story that popped up yesterday. One of Australia's biggest non-government employers has sacked hundreds of workers amid the cost of living crisis. This is Uniting Care in Queensland. Going to lay off about 340 employees, most of those in the Blue Care service, providing residential aged care, respite care and nursing services to people in their own homes. It's been a problem. It's not a new problem, is it? The fact that aged care is becoming more and more of an issue as obviously more Australians head into aged care. What should be done in your opinion?
Well, there's certainly no doubt we are an ageing population and we are having greater pressure on aged care funding and sustainability. But once again, we said to the government right from the get-go that if they would prepare, if they would keep us in the loop and keep us briefed on as they went forward on how we were going to manage aged care into the future, we would be constructive and supportive in working together with the government. We have had nothing so far. They have not briefed us on what's going on. But worse than that, they haven't actually taken the Australian public along on the journey, on this journey with them. I mean, I think older Australians and their families and the people that care for them should be allowed to have a conversation about how we're going to manage aged care into the future with the increasing number of people who are requiring these services. The secrecy and the refusal of the government to provide any information to the public, I think is really contemptuous. And so we call on the government, release the report and have an honest conversation with the Australian public. But once again, we asked for this, we've been asking this for months and we still haven't seen it.
Okay, this is the Aged Care Sustainability Task Force. I think that report was given to government before Christmas, is that correct?
Yes, we were told in estimate they received it in December.
Right. But we still haven't heard anything about that. I suppose that everything seems to be holding off till the budget in May, all these announcements about cost of living easing, etc., etc., etc. Are you expecting any great announcements as far as aged care, residential aged care goes?
Well, obviously we hope that there will be some decisions that will give older Australians and their families comfort that the government has got this under control. But at this stage, as we're leading up to the budget, we have no information whatsoever. And I think it would be nice for Australians to have the opportunity to have some input into potential changes. But if they're just going to whack it in the budget and tell people, you know, we've already made this decision, no consultation, you know, this is what it's going to be, I just don't think that's any way to run a government.
19 past seven, my guest, South Australian Senator Anne Rustin, who's the Shadow Minister for Health and Aged Care. I'll get you to put on your Shadow Minister for Sport hat now. I mentioned a number of times that there have been these calls for changes to concussion protocols. I think in the AFL it's 12-day stand down. For the NRL it's still 11. The recommendation is 3 weeks. I notice in Victoria they've said now with junior and community sport that will be 3 weeks, but not in the AFL, and I don't think the NRL have responded. Do you have a view on the concussion stand down, Senator?
Well, look, one thing, you know, I'm certainly not a medical professional and I'll let the medical professionals make the decision about the medical implications of concussion. But what we do want to see, particularly with our younger sports people and our younger people who are playing sport, they don't even have to be elite sports people, but they're playing in a safe environment. So I think it's really great that the codes are now focusing on making sure that their rules and their standards are supporting young people to play sport in a safe way. Because we know, you know, CTE is terrible implications of head knocks, particularly repeated head knocks. So I mean, I'd like to see that we have consistency, but also, you know, the medical profession needs to be the one that's making the decisions about the appropriateness of the length of time somebody needs to be off the field after they've had a knock.
And can't go past Sam Kerr, unfortunately, the first standing captain of an Australian sports team to be charged with a criminal offence. And obviously it's before the courts, but given that she has been charged with a criminal offence, do you think she should be stripped of her Matildas captaincy?
Well, obviously, I think it's a matter of, you know, whether the charge is she's convicted. But, you know, obviously that's definitely a matter for the courts to decide. It's not something that's appropriate for me to be commenting on.
And you're looking forward to the start of the AFL season tonight?
Certainly am. Always happy to be good sport, whether it's males, whether it's females, whether it's here in Australia or overseas.
And here in Newcastle, the NRL continues. The Knights are taking on the Raiders here in Newcastle, and you're obviously tipping the Knights to have a handsome win tonight.
Well, I must say, I'm a follower of the Southern Code and the Round Ball Code. I can't say that I'm a great understanding of your code, but a good game of sport is always great, and hopefully it encourages young kids to get out there and have a kick of the footy tomorrow too.
Hear, hear. International Women's Day tomorrow. You'll be celebrating, Senator?
Well, certainly. Tomorrow morning I'll be attending a big event that always happens here in Adelaide to make sure that we're celebrating the fact that we have a great female population who are making huge, huge contributions to our economy and then get on with a normal day.
Good on you. Appreciate your time this morning. I hope you enjoy the rest of your Thursday, Senator.
Thank you very much.
Senator Anne Rustin, the Shadow Minister for Health and Aged Care and also Shadow Minister for Sport.